If needlework is your passion, whether you're stitching by hand, machine, or mixing it all up, you're going to want to hear about the Mr. X Stitch Contemporary Needlework Prize 2025. This prize celebrates the best in modern stitch and it's open to creatives from all around the world, whether you're a student or an emerging artist or a seasoned professional. And the best part, you don't have to send your work anywhere. Just upload high-resolution images to a private folder we will send you after you enter. You can enter more than one category, for instance, hand embroidery and 3D textiles. Just grab an entry for each one. And if you've got a student ID, you can get 50% off the entry price as well. The deadline for entering is 30th of June 2025, and entries are now open at xstitchmag.com/prize-entry. Thanks to our brilliant sponsors, Bookmarked Hub by Search Press and David and Charles, and the legends at Lowry Workstands. If you've got the stitch bug, this is your time. Show us what you've got. Enter the prize now. Visit xstitchmag.com/prize-entry to get your ticket today. Audrey Montoya is a US-based needle felting artist whose whimsical and melancholic creations reflect Audrey's experiences and her emotions, and who is slowly building a universe of characters that I feel deserve to be turned into some kind of magnum opus somewhere down the line. This is the second part of our needle exchange, and in this part we talk about how Audrey's fine art background came into, shall we say, conflict with the art that she was producing. That's a strong way of putting it, but it would be fair to say that fine art and quirky needle felting don't naturally sit next to one another. So we have a talk about that, but when you get to know Audrey, you realise that the work she's making now is the work that she was put on this planet to make. And I'm just so thrilled to have been able to talk to her at this relatively early stage in her process, because I think she's just going from strength to strength and gaining traction and gaining notice. She's had a solo show. She's just really embracing her own quirks and I think making the world a better place for it. You'll also find out her favourite music styles, the last good film she watched, and an interesting fact that not a lot of people know, because that's what we do on Needle Exchange. I hope you enjoy this show. Be sure to listen to the first part of our conversation as well. If you have enjoyed this Needle Exchange, please do take the time to leave a review if you can, and feel free to drop me a line via email or DM me on Instagram if you've got any recommendations of people I should be needle exchanging with. Thanks for being here. I will see you next week with an interview with a different artist. Until then, enjoy the show. It definitely feels like you're the kid who was in front of the telly just being like amazed at all of this kind of stuff, you know, and that's like the joy that permeates throughout. So it's interesting that there's also like this like nostalgia, or there's often a sort of poignancy with a lot of it, because the rest of it is just so like kind of wowie zowie.
Yeah, it's hard for me to like disconnect. So even if I was like, I'm just gonna make a bat or something, like it, I couldn't just make that. I would need to, it needs to be something to me. It needs to like symbolize something about either myself or something I'm going through. That's really, I don't know why that's so important to me. Well, mostly because I'm sitting for hours and hours like thinking about stuff and stabbing stuff.
You just can't escape it, can you?
I can't get out of my head. So that's why they're all about like stuff I'm going through.
But that's the artistry. That's the you coming out, isn't it? It's quite clear. Like I say, it's such a relief to see that then you found needle felting and suddenly you were able to put all of the stuff you've been doing and transform it into these like hyper kitsch 3D objects now.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, I love needle felting and I love that everybody else loves it too. That's like, it's crazy to me that people respond to it the way they do. When I was in school, I had this professor and they said that they used to do paintings and then they switched to textile work because the paintings weren't saying what they wanted the paintings to say. Mm. And I feel like that's kind of what happened to me too. Like, my paintings weren't ever saying the right things or people weren't understanding the things that I wanted them to understand from the paintings. But when I moved to needle felting, it's like everybody just got it. And that was really, that was like a game changer for me. I was just like, oh, okay. All this stuff that I thought that I couldn't do, like make it kitschy, make it like sentimental, make it weird, make it embarrassing. I didn't do that with my paintings, and now I do it with my needle feltings, and people get it, and that's amazing to me. I love it.
I think there's always something about the softness, you know, because they look like cuddly toys, and, you know, it's the same with cross stitch and needlework. There's just like this cultural familiarity to it. And I think needle felting it's not as embedded in like history, because it's always a bit of an odd one, isn't it? A lot of the time felt was more like functional, like you might make coats out of it or blankets out of it. And it was very much like almost like a byproduct of shepherding or something or other. But the minute you get into the like these soft things, you still get it with people who kind of make weird plush toys. They have that kind of sort of familiarity as well, don't they? Because it is probably instant nostalgia in some ways. But I think as well, your style and your aesthetic just ramps that sort of nostalgia vibe up a bit.
Yeah, there's something about the surface, and that it's like an object. So it is very much like a toy or a pillow or a plushie, that it just doesn't work. Like I was like, you know what, I want to see if I could paint one of these sculptures and see how that goes. And I did it, and I was like, no. This doesn't work, because it needs to have that softness. It needs to have that, like, the way you would imagine it would feel. Because you can't imagine you're feeling a painting. I mean, you can, but nobody wants to touch a painting because it's not going to feel like anything. It's just going to feel like a flat surface. But you can imagine that you're touching one of these if you're just looking at a picture or the video or something. And you know what that feels like. And you just sort of want to squeeze it, hug it, look at it, touch it, turn it around. Turn it upside down, look at it from every angle, and you just can't do that with a painting. And that's sort of the fun part of it, is that it is an object. And for some people, that devalues it. Like, it's not a painting. It's not this big, giant, like, I don't know, prestigious thing. It's just like this needle felted weird sculpture. But that's sort of the thing I love about it, is that it is just like an object.
Yeah, and so how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that, like, you know, you had this, like, painting background and that was what art was and all of that sort of thing, and now you're making this work and everybody's responding to it and you're selling pieces, and you had a solo show, or is there a solo show that's happening soon, isn't it?
It's still happening, and then I'm going to be in a group show next, yeah.
So, you know, you're an exhibited artist, like, who's beloved across the globe, doing these weird needle feltings. How does that butt up against your preconditions about what an artist should be?
It's been really strange to sort of move into something that's so different from painting. Like, I feel like I move in the circles of, like, lowbrow art, whereas initially I was, like, trying to be, like, this highbrow artist. And now I'm just like in like the common circles of people who just like love to collect stuff, and they love like weird art. And is really weird, because I didn't think I would ever be in those circles. Like, I always loved lowbrow art. I always thought it was awesome. But I was always like, I don't know if I'm creative enough to do that. And so now that I'm in it, it's like, it's exciting, but it's also like, oh, I'll bet some people are disappointed. If that makes sense.
But when you say some people, do you mean people you know, or?
It sort of goes against, like, my education, like my BFA. Like, we were always like, you need to be in the conversation and of art, and you need to know what you're saying, and your paintings need to mean something or do something. And they can't just all be about you, is sort of like what my education was, or what I took from being like a painter, was that if you made it too sentimental or too much about yourself, it sort of lost its prestige. And so when I was doing my paintings, I was always trying to keep them at like a distance so that they weren't like totally my heart. And then now I feel like, these sculptures I make are just me. They're just, like, my heart, and I just made a heart. it's like they're too close to me to be, like, super fine art, but somehow that's what makes people love them so much.
Yeah, I think you get this thing, don't you, where you could do a painting of He-Man trying to hit on a My Little Pony, and you would have to just justify it as being a commentary on male-oriented globalization and the whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to do that, don't you? Everything has to be, I'm talking about the challenge within a cultural context.
It has to be this big thing. Like, it has to be this big statement about something other than me, or, you know, just something big. Like, it needs to be a big cultural thing. And
whereas the beauty of your work is you're doing what Audrey had to do. You're making the work that you had to make, because when you look back at everything you've done, even going back to, like, you know, your portraits from 2010 and those kind of things, even there you were, like, experimenting with color and just trying to, you know, you're doing your best to do the normal portraits, but you can't help but be a little bit odd and a little bit kitsch, because that is the Audrey story. And now this is the logical conclusion of that, right?
It is. Like, I always needed to, I needed it to be weird, always, even when I was trying to be normal. It just needed to go in a direction that I felt was different or unexpected.
And I think that's what I like about, I mean, I'm trying to work out how, like, because sometimes, and the thing is, I've got no art history training, right? So I don't know all this stuff. I'm just making it up as I go along. But you get kind of folk art, and you get, like, naive art, I think. And then sometimes is there, like, brute art as well? And that kind of stuff to me is people making the stuff that they had to make because they had to make it. And it feels like that's, you know, let's remove the lofty concepts of it all, but that's what artists should be, right? People making the stuff they have to make because that's what they're here for.
Exactly. Like, I have to make it. Like, I have to make these weird things, and they seem so silly, but I have to do it. Like, I can't get around it. Like, if I don't needle felt for, like, a few days, if I'm not making some weird thing, I'm just like, who even am I? Like, what am I doing here? It is the work that I needed to make.
For yeah. Sure. It's like fiber-based Tourette's or something. You're just like, muffin with a smile.
Yes.
Conflicted cupcakes. Do you feel like you're building a world? Are these all, like, individual outpourings, or do you think somewhere down the line there's, like, you know, like the beginning of the Muppet Show, and you've just got the Muppets, and then it sort of pans out, and then you've got all the rows of the Muppets, and you're like oh my god, there's so many Muppets all of a sudden. Are you building like the Muppet Show?
I'm not really thinking necessarily about how they all look together or how they all go together, but I kind of am. I'm just making all these characters, and I do, like, a lot of my followers on Instagram are like character designers. Like, they make puppets or they draw characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't necessarily think I'm doing that. Like, I am definitely doing that, but I'm not thinking of that when I'm making these guys. And so it's like, I'm just making all these weird characters. But to me, when I'm making a piece, I'm just making this, like, a piece of art. Like, I'm thinking of it as a piece of art. But they are definitely characters, and they, like, could talk to each other. Like, it would be fun if there was, like, an animated, like, something of them together. That would be really cool, like a cartoon or, I don't know, puppet show.
I think they could do a podcast or possibly do a local news channel. And it's just like, and now here's Depressed Pizza with the traffic.
That would be so awesome. I love that.
I could definitely
In my independent study class I was talking about, I originally started that class, I was going to make puppets. And then I made one puppet, and puppets are really hard to make. But I was like, wanted to make puppets so bad. And then my professor was like, so are you going to, like, do a puppet show? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, why are you making puppets? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a girl on Instagram called Axe Personified. And I think I don't know whether she makes recreations of Muppets or something, or she just makes Muppets. But, like, her stuff's, like, the real deal. I think people really like, I'm just going to look her up now, because I think Emily Engel. And she just seems to make, just those kind of puppets. I think the thing with the Muppets as well, for me, it always seemed that they largely had like the same kind of eyes. And I think a lot of your characters, I don't know whether you just have like the one eyeball supplier or something. I mean, where do you get your eyes from?
A lot of them are just my eyes. Like, I have pictures of myself doing this, like my eyes real big. And I'm just like looking at my eyes and like putting them on there. And then I just have my cartoon eye that I do. I don't know exactly where it came from, but
so wait, so those eyes, those eyes, like on the pizza and stuff, they're not like glass eyes, then?
No, they're I needle felt those.
I thought they were glass eyes. Damn, you really have got shiny down, haven't you? I bet you're like, so I did that. But I think that's the thing, you know, like I say, I think that like when you look at the Muppets, there are certain tells that you go, they're in the Muppet universe because there are those kind of things. And I think with yours, the eyes are part of the eyes and the mouths and the way they kind of work seems to be that's the character trait among all the abstract food objects.
Yeah, they all definitely go together. Like I have my eye and mouth aesthetic and it's always my mouth. Because I have an underbite, so if you look at them, you'll see that they all have underbites.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is you, aren't they? These are all, like you say, they are actually all Audrey's, even though one of them might be a pretzel.
Yes, so I tried to do other people's mouths, and it was just a little weird, and I was like, oh, I'll just do my mouth. Like, I'm sort of moving away from them looking just like my mouth, and more like just like a general, like, generic mouth. As I'm getting better at doing mouths. But yeah, it's all kind of just my mouth and my teeth.
And only if it makes you happy should you move away from it. Because I think otherwise it is that sum total. What was it like then with the solo show, like having so many pieces all together? I mean, I guess you've got them all in and around you anyway. But I mean, to see so many pieces all out in the one space and stuff like that must have been quite the buzz.
Yeah, it was really, well, to be honest with you, I usually sell them as soon as I make them. So I don't usually have them around for very long. And I don't have them together to see them all together. So it was really like, that's the reason why I wanted to do the show, was because I wanted to see all the pieces together. Like, I wanted to keep them long enough to put them all on a wall and see what they look like together, because I'd never done that. And people just buy them, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful for that. But it was really cool to see them all together in one show. I was like, oh, this is how they work together. But it was really difficult to hang it because I was hanging it. And I was like, I don't even know how to hang this. They're not squares. Like, how do you put them together? That was tough. It took me like hours to do.
How did you get?
I actually had help. One of the guys at the gallery was helping me do it. But as far as like technical stuff, I always put like hangers on the back of the pieces so that they can just hang directly on a wall. I find that's best. Occasionally I'll make a standalone sculpture that can stand on like a plinth or something. I don't like those as much because my cats get them and like tear them to pieces. So I'm like, if anybody has cats, I don't want their cats to get them. So I make almost all my pieces to hang on a wall like a painting.
Right. And in your mind, do the pieces talk to one another?
In the show?
Are they friends? Are they foes?
They're all, I think they're friends. They're all sort of friends. Like,
are they all part of the same therapy group? Is that where it's at? It's sort of, they meet once
a week.
Yeah,
they all sit in a circle and
get off their chest.
Talk about me.
Audrey. Hi, my name's Moldy Apple, and I'm an Audrey creation. Hi, Audrey creation.
Pretty much.
That was amazing. What was I going to ask you? I had a random question. This is a random question. Do children in Albuquerque learn to spell quicker than the average because they have to learn to spell Albuquerque?
It's quite a word, right? There's so many Q's.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's the most Q-y word of Albuquerque or whatever. I feel like if you get that right, you can get anything right, really.
Right, yeah. What's fun about Albuquerque is that it's spelled almost exactly the way it sounds, which is a Spanish thing. English words can be, I think, tricky because those vowels can do whatever they want. There's no rules with those vowels.
No. If in doubt, just stick an extra U into a thing. It'll be fine. We can cope with that. And it's quite a left field kind of place, Albuquerque, isn't it?
It's very Wild Westy, sort of. Like,
right.
It's very desert, dry, lots of cactuses, rattlesnakes.
Hella hot. Like,
yes.
Is it hot?
Well, it's cold. It's very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer because we're at a very high elevation. So it's a high desert. So we get cold in the winter and really hot in the summer. I mean, not like Arizona hot, but it gets hot.
Is there a sweet spot over a couple of weeks where everyone's like, oh, it's lovely. Just t-shirts, yes, and shorts.
There's about 4 weeks the whole year. 2 weeks in spring and 2 weeks in fall where it's really nice. And then the rest of the year, I'm just inside the whole time.
It's just a fresh hell the rest of the time. Love it here. Can't go out.
It's so great. People who like to be outside really love it, but I'm not really an outside person.
Do you feel outdoors ever?
In those 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall, I'll sit outside and in my yard and felt.
What's that you're making, says the neighbor walking past. You're like, well, it's a fondant fancy who's seen better days. And the person goes, okay, dear, and just keeps on walking and doesn't walk past your house again. That'd be fine. Right, I sent you some questions. Hopefully, I sent you some questions in advance. These will be a fascinating insight into Audrey's brain, although I feel like we're going there already. But do you have a favorite band?
I don't know. I have a favorite album.
Okay, that'll do.
Okay. My favorite album of all time has to be Paul Simon's Graceland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. I don't know. Like, my parents had it when I was a kid, and it's sonically, it's just a gorgeous album. I love it. The songs are so great.
Yeah, I agree. I bought it on vinyl not that long ago. I managed to find one on vinyl for like £2 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, nice.
And I was like, I'm having that because it is. It's really joyful, isn't it? It really starts out really joyfully as well. And I think it's just a nice.
The whole sound is joyful, but like what the songs are about is like super heavy.
Mm. Yeah, true. But also like really like the lyrics are really stickable, aren't they? Like you can just like, he makes a sign of the teacup, she makes a sign of the wave, and off we go again. And all of that. I'm going to be having that for the rest of the day now, and so are you. That'll be marvellous. Do you listen to music when you work?
Yes, I do.
I'd imagine it's, I feel like with you, you just put like, right, give me MTV 1990s on Spotify, and that's Audrey gone for the rest of the day or something. I don't know.
Like, weirdly enough, I really like 50s jazz. So I listen to a lot of like Walter Wanderley and like, I always get his name wrong, but I want to say Herb Alpert.
Oh, yeah. What, Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass? That
guy. I listen to a lot of that. Like, so I'll just put on like a Spotify playlist and it'll just play all kinds of music like that.
The thing that fascinates me is you get these people. So Herb Alpert's a great example, isn't it? Because he's fantastically wealthy because he was so successful with Tijuana Brass, wasn't he? But it feels quite cheesy. Like people just go, you know, like if over here, if you went to charity shops, you'd see his albums in there alongside people like James Last and all of these guys who were huge back in the day. But every now and again inside there are some real gems. I got Herb Alpert's album, I think it's called Rise, which was like the first one he made that's not particularly Tijuana-y.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, it's got two songs. So there's one called Rotation, which has got a real kind of groovy, like, synth vibe, makes you feel a bit of Miami Vice kind of vibe. Yeah. And then I think Rise, is it Rise or Rise Up? The song itself has got a bass line on it that was then subsequently used in about 100 different hip-hop albums. And it's just like, you get these people that are so technically good. There's, have you ever heard of Soma FM?
No.
It's like a sort of online radio station thing. It's been going for years, okay. And they have all these different genres of music. And they've got one particular station on there that's called The In Sound, I think it is. And it plays that kind of like 60s, 70s, like David Axelrod, slightly cinematic, funky lounge kind of music stuff. You know, that's in a similar vibe where suddenly it's like something that sounds like it's in like a French detective movie.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. It's in there, you know, and it's that kind of music where like in and amongst all the stuff that's just really cringe, suddenly you find a song that just blows you away. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's this, so I listen to Spotify DJ, it's like an AI DJ, and it's been playing a lot of like 70s jazz, which is really cool. Like I don't know any of the names. Like, I'm just bad at names in general for everything. Right. So, but like, I love the sound of it. It's like, it does sound like you're in like a murder mystery, like a French murder mystery. Yeah, a lot of them. It's cool.
There's another good series of albums that are called Beat et Cincinnata. And they're like compilations of Italian jazz. But what happened, and again, my facts are off here, but what happened, roughly speaking, was there was a really cool Italian jazz scene. And then I think maybe they were involved in the movies or something like that. But then all of that work kind of dried up and they ended up making music for like adult films in Italian, like porno films and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really groovy jazz. Like, it's so amazing to kind of listen to and cool. stuff. And it just happens to be the music that people would be like going at it to in some really retro film or something. But they're a really good series because it is, again, it's just that kind of cinematic jazz vibe. You're just like, yeah, I can get down to that. I appreciate yeah. that. Nice. Favorite book?
My favorite book is, what is it called? Gil's All Fright Diner by Aileen Martinez. It's just like a funny book about a werewolf and a vampire hillbillies just driving around in their old broken truck solving mysteries.
Is that like a Scooby-Doo, the inverse sort or something? Or
yeah.
I love that. I mean, do you read a lot?
I used to, not anymore, but yeah. And mostly if I read, it's going to be something silly.
Huh? Yeah, mostly children's books.
Yeah, now
I've very much enjoyed introducing my kids to things like Dr. Seuss. I'm kind of making them read all the books I really enjoyed as a kid, and to hell with all. I mean, we read a lot of, like, I don't know, the books that you're supposed to read at their age or whatever, but I love like going over Green Eggs and Ham and all of those kind of things. And in a way, I suppose actually his aesthetic isn't a billion miles away from yours.
It was kind of like lumpy
buildings and stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the last, I keep rephrasing this question. What was the last like good film you saw, or do you have a favorite film?
My favorite movie is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Ah.
It was so good. Like, I never ugly cried and laughed at the same time with like snot everywhere as I did at the end of that movie. It was just so good. I love that movie so much.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list. It's in my house on my list of films to watch. But things like Schitt's Creek keep getting in the way. It's not the same at all or whatever. I mean, do you watch a lot of films? Are there ones, is it more like cartoons?
You know, I watch a lot of, I call them my comfort movies. So I watch like Elvira, The Mistress of the Dark, the movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Or The Burps with Tom Hanks. Like, I just love those kind of like cheesy, like, you don't really have to like sit and pay attention to it too much, but they're still like really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can appreciate that. I've got a fondness for Police Academy, the first one of those, which I enjoyed when I was a kid and then still makes me chortle. I think I watched it not that long ago. There's a scene with a podium. And I think I'll just leave that there. Really, it's very funny indeed. I mean, what about TV as well? Are you much of a TV person?
Yes, I love TV. Bob's Burgers is one of my favorite shows. I love it. And Old Simpsons from like the 90s to mid 2000s. I love those.
Right. And then one day the Audrey Montoya show.
And people will be like, exactly. One day.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for somebody to make it because I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no. Give it time. Like, Netflix will come along at some point. And then if you need an English voiceover actor, you know where to find me. I can do many voices. Know. I'm a pizza now. Now I'm a pot of yogurt. Is there an interesting fact that not many people know about Audrey Montoya?
I have a twin brother, but we were not born on the same day. I'm older. I was born like right before midnight, and then my brother was born right after midnight.
I mean, that's nice though, right?
I know. So we have different birthdays.
Yeah. Do you get treated more like separate people because of that as well, rather than just, oh, we'll just get, it's the twins' birthday, or whatever?
No.
No, you're still the twins. Are you quite twinny?
We were when we were younger, not so much anymore. But I love my brother. He's a great guy.
And not because you're not the same sex. So I'm assuming you were like different egg twins. Don't know what the exact scientific term. I'm just wondering whether you have anything like a psychic bond. Like my stepdad, I used to have a stepdad who was one of identical twins and they were weird. They were like proper psychic.
No, I don't think we have like a, we didn't have like a special language or anything.
Yeah, you can't finish each other's sandwiches or any of that sort of stuff.
No.
That's cool. Hey, Audrey, thanks for having a needle exchange with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Jamie. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for joining me on another Needle Exchange. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to hear from you, so feel free to email hello@needle.exchange, that's NWDL.exchange, with any thoughts, comments or feedback. And if you want to keep up with all the news, sign up to the Needle Exchange mailing list at bit.ly/needleexchange. See you next time.